Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the most notable of the Old Testament prophets was a man named Elisha. He served as a prophet for about 50 years and performed more miraculous works than any other Old Testament prophet. So great was the power God bestowed upon him that long after he died, a dead man was restored to life when his body touched Elisha's bones. You can read of this in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 21. One of the most interesting of Elisha's mighty works involved an Aramean or Syrian who was an army captain. His name was Naaman. This incident is interesting simply as a miraculous healing, certainly, but it also has value as an object lesson for those of us who live under the new covenant, the covenant of Christ. There are some, perhaps many, who either wonder about the value of studying the Old Testament or who are convinced that there is no need to study it. The declaration of Scripture is that it is well worth our time to study the Old Testament. For in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul said, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." And in the context in which he wrote those words, those things written in earlier times is what we call today the Old Testament. Now, this was not a theoretical statement that Paul made, because he and the other New Testament writers used Old Testament accounts to teach New Testament truths. They did so frequently. And so we understand that it is important and valuable for us to learn from the Old Testament and to draw from its accounts important principles by which we are to live still today. So then we're going to take a few moments today to study the account of Naaman's cleansing and to see what we may learn from it for our use in the Christian age. So let's begin by reading the record of this event up to the point at which Naaman was healed. We find this record in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Here's what the scripture says. "Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy.' Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Aram said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy.' When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me.' It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean.' But Naaman was furious and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, "Wash and be clean"?' So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, the basic elements of this incident are these. First, Naaman was a commander in the Aramean army who had won many battles on behalf of his king. He was a brave man who had undoubtedly faced death many times, but the scripture says he was a leper. What this meant in the short term was that he had to live at arm's length, so to speak, from his family, friends, subordinates, and his king. In the long term, however, it meant that he would die. His courage and his valor could not save him in this instance. Second, Naaman had a slave girl from Israel who remembered the prophet of God, Elisha, who lived in Samaria. She knew that if her master were to seek the man of God, he would be healed. Now Naaman, to his credit, believed her words and sought permission from the king of Aram to go to the prophet. Third, when Naaman came to the prophet's house, he had particular expectations as to what would happen. In verse 11, he said he thought the prophet would come out before him and in a dazzling spectacle work the miraculous healing. Instead, Elisha did not even speak to Naaman personally. He sent word by his servant as to what Naaman must do in order to be cleansed of his leprosy. And what he told him to do greatly offended him. To go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River was an affront to Naaman's dignity, and he went away from Elisha's house in a rage. The fourth thing that we notice from this story is that we find that Naaman was ultimately an honest and humble man. When his servants approached him and encouraged him to do as the prophet said, he considered their words and then obeyed what the prophet had commanded him. The result was that Naaman was fully healed of this dread disease. A key element in this event is something that we often overlook as we study it. When Naaman's servants spoke to him about the prophet's word, notice what they said. In verse 13, quoting again, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" Now the logic here is simple and easy to understand. If the prophet had made some great demand of Naaman, we know that he would have done it. If the prophet had laid some difficult challenge before him or had named some extravagant price for Naaman to pay, we know that he would have complied without question. This being the case, and Naaman certainly did not dispute this claim, how much more so then ought he to do this very simple thing that the prophet commanded? It is at this point that we find the pivotal moment in Naaman's life. He was a man under a death sentence because of his leprosy. He had come finally face to face with the one and only solution to his problem. And what did he do? He refused to take the action that would save him simply because it did not meet his expectation of what it ought to be. Naaman was, at least initially, willing to give up any hope for healing because the cure that he was required to take offended him. How sad it would have been if Naaman had rejected the reasoning of his servants and returned to Aram without having washed 7 times in the Jordan River. Now consider everything that Naaman had done up to the moment he stood outside of Elisha's house. First, he had believed his servant girl that a cure existed in Samaria. Second, he had convinced the king of Aram to allow him to go to Samaria to seek this cure. This was huge because Israel and Aram were nearly always at war with each other. Thirdly, he made the nearly 100-mile journey to Samaria, the capital city of his enemies. Fourth, he humbled himself before the king of Israel and before Elisha in order to seek the cure that he needed. The point in reciting all of this is to show that Naaman had already taken the most difficult steps toward his healing. All that remained for him to do was a small thing, washing 7 times in the Jordan River. This was arguably the easiest step in this entire process, And Naaman almost let this small thing keep him from the healing he so desperately needed. It is at this point that we discover the spiritual application for our use. You see, all of us, like Naaman, are under a death sentence. His, of course, was a physical death sentence. Leprosy would eventually kill him. We also will one day die physically, but the more important death sentence hanging over us is spiritual death because of our sins. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and verse 23, he says that the wages of sin is death, that is, eternal separation from God. And all of us are under this condemnation. There is nothing that any of us can do to change this situation. But there is a cure. That cure is obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is available through no one else but Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Those who recognize that they are under the death sentence of sin and who truly wish to be saved will come to Jesus Christ for salvation. In order to come to Jesus for this cleansing, we have to believe, first of all, that He is the one who can heal us. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." If we believe that Jesus is the one who can cure us, then we have to change the course of our lives. We can no longer carry on as before and expect somehow different results. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That is, we need to turn the direction of our lives away from sin and back to the Lord. That is what repentance is. When we have made this commitment to a new way of life by our repenting of our sins, we then must acknowledge this change by confessing our faith in Him. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." Friends, when we consider the totality of the gospel, these things that we've just mentioned are the most difficult steps to salvation. They are the most difficult because they require of us a fundamental change in both our attitudes and our conduct. It is often difficult to finally believe in Jesus and His Word. It is difficult to change our minds about sin and thereby our conduct relative to it. And it is difficult sometimes to openly profess one's faith in the Lord and our commitment to serve Him. Yet many people all over the world do all these difficult things, but then, like Naaman, refuse to take the final step. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." For whatever reasons that people may offer, many balk at the idea of baptism to wash away their sins. It just isn't what they expected God to require. But it is such a small thing, such a simple thing. But many turn away from it and go their way, still under a sentence of death, because this small thing offends them. In judgment, Naaman will stand up against those who refuse to wash and be cleansed. He, like his servants asked him, will likely ask, "If it were some great thing, you would have done it. How much more so then when the Lord said, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" Friends, do not stop short of salvation. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you are sorry for your sins, if you are willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, you've done the difficult things. Now do the simple thing by being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.